And be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. So that's Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Okay. Well, at Emmanuel, we want to be the type of church family where people who aren't Christian can come and ask their questions and feel comfortable to ask them. And two big questions that people tend to ask about Christianity, two really good questions, are, is it true and is it worth it? Is it true and is it worth it? And of course, whether the stories about Jesus are true is vital. It's absolutely important. But people also want to know whether following Jesus is worth it, whether it's worth it. And in today's two short stories from the Bible, Jesus wants to tell us that being a friend of his or being part of his kingdom is like discovering a tremendous treasure or a precious pearl. It's a million, a billion times better than anything else on offer. But here's the problem. Following Jesus often doesn't feel that great. So I wonder if you've ever thought, if I wasn't a follower of Jesus, I could be more popular at school or more successful at work. If I wasn't a follower of Jesus, I could have a lot more fun in my spare time. I have. Following Jesus doesn't often feel that great. And to sort of make the point, what I'd like you to do, don't think this is too odd, is try and reach under your chair and see if you can find anything strapped underneath your chair. We're going to do a little treasure hunt. There's a theme going through. If you find a box or something box-like strapped under your chair, or maybe somewhere near your chair, I didn't know where everyone was going to be, could you kind of pull it out and lift it up? Great. Okay, if you're finders, you can bring it up. Do you want to bring them up or pass them to someone else who can come up? There should be another one coming. Great, thank you very much. Yeah, you're released. Phil, come on up. So, thank you very much, Phil. What we've got in here, in our treasure find, is a set of keys to a second-hand and fairly reliable Honda. And we've got my favourite pair of socks, which are just very comfortable and very easy to put on. Now, I think following Jesus often feels a little less like discovering amazing treasure and a little more like finding out you've got a sturdy pair of socks and a reliable Honda. It's okay, they're helpful. Being a Christian is undoubtedly helpful. It helps with aspects of your life. But they're hardly things to get excited about. Is being a Christian really a million, billion times better than anything else the world offers? Really? Well, let's meet the two characters from today's true story. And our first character, our first friend, is a farmhand. And he's probably digging vegetables or something like that. I'm going to need a volunteer. Does anyone want to come up? If you've heard the Bible passage preached, you might know what's in the soil. So if you want to come up and do some digging with the spade and gloves, I'd love to have a volunteer. I'm seeing movement in the front rows. It'll be worth your while. Why don't you come up as well? Okay, now if you're going to dig in your vegetable patch, you'll need some gloves. So let's put that one on there. There you go. Shall I hold that for now? There you are. Why don't you two come up as well? Okay. Up you come. Now, let's stand around here. This is our vegetable patch. What I need you to do with this big spade is have a sort of dig around. Can you hold on to that with those gloves? Or do you want to hold on? Have a bit of a dig around and see if you can spot anything. Dig, dig, dig. And then keep going. That's it. That's it. You're getting there. That's it. Oh. Ah. Right. Now, I need someone who doesn't mind their hands getting a little bit dirty. Go on. Get them in. Uncover. See what you found in there. Keep going. Keep going. No, that's not it. Let me help you there. Oh. It's not easy finding treasure. It never was. That's why not much is ever found. And now that looks like something. Let me take this. What can you describe? What can you see in there? It looks, there's some gold. Oh, let me give you a hand. Look at this. Wow.
Cakes.
It's gold. It's gold in the form of a Ferrero Rocher. There we go. Would you like to take one? Maybe take it back. It's your mum and dad. And there you go. Thanks for your help. Thank you very much. Shall I take your gloves? There we go. Thank you very much. Well done. Why don't you go back and see mum and dad? Oh, don't forget your necklace. There we go. Do you want to go back down and see mum and dad? Treasure and loads of it. Now, this guy's not a mug. He knows what he's found. So the first thing he does is bury the treasure back in there. Let's get it. He covers it up. He doesn't want anyone else to find it. No way. He knows what he's going to do. He's going to go home, sell everything, and buy the field. The treasure will be his. He's laughing. So, very quickly, he runs home, gets his wheelbarrow, and starts filling it with all his possessions. So, his clothes. Doesn't want his clothes. He wants the treasure. Football. Yeah, he'll get rid of the football. Computer. Doesn't need the computer. He wants the treasure. What else? Fidget spinner. Not bothered. What else have we got? Scooter. That can go on there. He doesn't need transport. The wheelbarrow will be fine. House keys. He's selling the house. He wants that treasure. And he wants it a lot. Savings. Children's University Savings Fund. That's going. He's getting rid of that. And he's emptying all his money. It's all going. He's getting rid of the lot. And off he trundles with his little wheelbarrow. It's quite hard, but he wanted that treasure a lot. So he trundles, trundles, trundles. Oh, wow. There he is. Sells it all, gets the money. He's in such a rush. He runs home. The moment he's been waiting, he's got all the money. He goes to see the right person. He buys the field. And the thing he's been waiting for ages, is finally his. The treasure is his. Now, he might just have sold everything he owns, but he's got the treasure. And he knows he's rich beyond his wildest dreams. And when you sort of win that kind of thing, you celebrate, don't you? We had party poppers at Bishopston this morning. We're going to celebrate champagne. Wow. That didn't quite go off with a bang. But there we go. Now, you might think, oh, you know, come on, you don't need to pop a bottle of champagne. But this guy is so excited because he knows the treasure he's found. And so he is full of joy. He sells everything, but he's willing to celebrate because he's found the most tremendous treasure. So that's our friend, the farm worker. Let me introduce you to our friend, the merchant. Now, this merchant, when it comes to pearls, he's an expert. That's all you need to know about him. He's an absolute expert, and he's an expert because of his experience, and he's got one of these. If anyone can spot a precious pearl, he's your man. Now, one morning, he's in the shop looking at pearls. And he's going through a bag of pearls. And suddenly, he sees one that's a little bit special. Not your run of the ordinary pearls. And he plays it quite cool, but on the inside, there's a noise a bit like this going off. I mean, he is so excited, he has never seen a pearl like this, ever. But on the outside, he's playing it cool. He knows what the professionals do in this situation. So he says to the shopkeeper, could you just reserve this one for me? No particular reason. I'm just going to go and get some money, and I'll be back shortly. And what he does is very clever. He leaves the shop in quite a cool, calm, and considered manner. As soon as he's round the corner, he legs it. He legs it home. He gets his wheelbarrow. He fills it up with absolutely everything he owns. He sells it, and he goes to buy that precious pearl. Now, how is it that both our friends were able to joyfully sell everything they owned? I mean, do you think you would be able to joyfully sell everything you owned? They could. It's because they knew it was worth their while. They could do the maths. Whatever they were going to lose by selling their stuff, they knew the treasure was worth a million, billion times more. And so they sold with joy. It was a no-brainer. Simple maths, really. Now, if you're a friend of Jesus, you're just like the merchant or man who found treasure in the field. In your pocket, you've got the Jesus treasure. And he is worth a million, billion times more than anything else on offer. Now, maybe you're thinking, really? How exactly is being friends with Jesus, being part of his kingdom, how is that so much better than anything in this world? And I'd like to think just about two P's, possessions and popularity, and two ways in which Jesus is so much better than our possessions and our popularity. Now, we all have treasured possessions, don't we? Things that, for whatever reason, we just really love. And here is one that some of us might particularly enjoy. If you're not sure what it is, this is a MacBook. Now, this just feels amazing. Sort of rub your hands over it. It looks beautiful, doesn't it? What Apple have done, they've taken something really boring, a computer, and they've made it beautiful. And I even think they probably smell good, don't they? They probably smell good. And you can, when you go into the Apple store and you buy your MacBook, and you it comes in a, I never thought wrapping or boxes were exciting until you unwrap it. It's like opening a treasure chest. There's something amazing about it. And you put it down at home, and it's like a work of art. You sort of look at it from different angles. And it's beautiful, and it's incredibly precious, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. But the thing is, you just know that before long, the first scratch will appear. Oh! And then you know not long after that, someone will be eating marmalade on their toast, and then they'll go and type an email, and the keys get sticky. Oh! And then you know, and you just know, it's going to start slowing down, isn't it? It's going to start slowing down. And before you know it, your beautiful MacBook is just another laptop. Now, perhaps you're not that bothered about computers. They're not particularly precious. Maybe clothing. Maybe you've got a particularly kind of your favorite bit of clothing, don't you? These are mine. These are the most comfortable trousers ever. And it's taken 2 years of careful and almost constant wearing for them to be the most comfortable trousers ever and to reach perfection. The problem is, that almost as soon as they reached perfection, the rips started appearing. Well, I thought, I'm not giving up. I'm going to patch them. The problem is, the more I patched, the more the rips appeared. And that's the problem with possessions, really, isn't it? That they rip and they rust, and their beauty fades. And that's why being friends with Jesus is so much better than the most precious of possessions, because Jesus won't rust or slow down, and his beauty won't tarnish. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The more you look at him, the more you'll see how beautiful he is and how wonderful he is. So the more you fail and fall short, the more you'll know of his love and forgiveness. The more you feel weak and vulnerable, the more you'll know that he is strong to save. Jesus, he is our treasure. And if we trust him, he's all ours. We have him in our pockets. And we're richer than we could possibly imagine. Now, if Jesus is our greatest possession, how do you think that should affect how we use all our other possessions? Well, I think it might free us to be better at sharing everything we have. I think one of the reasons why we're hesitant to share our possessions is that we're afraid that they'll get lost or damaged. And for emotional or financial reasons, we just don't think we can cope with that. But that wasn't the attitude of the farm worker or the merchant. Do you remember? They realized, no, the treasure they was getting was way better than what they were giving up. It was a total no-brainer. They'd done the maths. They sold everything. Jesus' friendship. Oh, it's worth so much more. This sounds trite. It's worth so much more than a MacBook or a new car. And so if you lend your fidget spinner to a friend at school and they lose it, if you lend your car to a neighbor for the weekend and they prang it, you can relax. Nothing can take the Jesus treasure from our pockets. Worrying what you might lose if you lend out your possessions, it's a bit like worrying about lending out a £5 note if you've got the winning lottery ticket in your hand. It's bonkers. It's crazy. Friends, if we've got the Jesus treasure in our pockets, we're richer than any lottery winner ever will be. So let's not hold on to our possessions. Let's be a church family known for being radically generous in sharing everything we've got. After all, isn't that exactly what the early church did? They shared everything. And boy, did the world notice when they did it. So what would our classmates think? What would our colleagues think if they saw us sharing even our most precious possessions with our friends and neighbors? Being friends with Jesus is worth it. It's a million, billion times better than even having our most precious possessions. So that's one P. The second P is popularity. Maybe possessions aren't your thing. You're not particularly concerned. They're not precious to you. But what matters to you a bit more is being popular. Popular with your colleagues or your classmates or your teammates. Because in one way, we all love to be loved. We all love to be loved. So the French writer Victor Hugo, he said that life's greatest happiness is to know you're loved. We all love to be loved in one way or another. So it feels great when our boss tells us that we are the key worker on a particular project. It feels amazing when we get the invitation to that party. But the problem is, we all love to be loved so much that we run after people's approval. So we start dressing in a certain way. We start speaking in a certain way. We stay late at work. And when we get loads of likes, we're in the clouds. When we get ignored, we sink to the depths. And of course, being a Christian doesn't exactly improve your popularity, does it? Someone goes, oh, so you still go to church, do you? Okay, I didn't think people did that sort of thing these days. So you think sex is for marriage only? Wow, that's so old-fashioned it's almost cool. Except it's not cool at all. It's terrible. And so we wonder, is following Jesus worth it? Is it worth it? Think back to our two friends. They're at home, selling everything. The neighbors come round and they go, what on earth are you doing? They say, we found treasure. The neighbors go, okay, well, maybe sell a few things, some of your savings. Don't sell your house and definitely don't give away your children's education funds. That's bonkers. And they go, no, we've done the maths. The treasure is amazing. And so we don't really care what you think too much. We'll sell everything. Thank you very much. You see, when you know Jesus loves you, it stops you being afraid about what other people think about you. So imagine you're at football training. You've got a few balls down in front of you. You're busy doing some penalty practice. And you're kicking a few into the nets. They're going okay. And you overhear a friend or a class, a sort of teammate, and they're going, he's not very good, is he? Now, of course, it's not going to be great to hear that, is it? But then, over your teammate's shoulder, you see Lionel Messi. And he looks at you, and he gives you the thumbs up. Now, whose opinion matters more? Your teammate from the under-13 A's or Lionel Messi? It's Messi's, isn't it? Greatest footballer of his generation. If he thinks you're doing okay, you listen to him and not to what your teammate thinks. And if I can put this tritely, if you're trusting in Jesus, if you're friends with God, then the one who created the universe has given you a thumbs up. He's given you a thumbs up. And if you know that, it won't matter so much what other people think about you. So if your heavenly boss is smiling down at you, it won't matter as much if your earthly boss is frowning at you. And you're going to find it easier to tell him that you're not prepared to tell lies to the firm's major client to just look better. If the creator of the universe has accepted you, it won't matter so much if a few classmates don't think you're that cool. And so if you don't get the invitation to a particular party, well, you know the Creator loves you and he cares for you. And what's more, unlike the approval we get from our classmates or colleagues, which goes up and down, depending on the day, God's approval of us and love of us will never change, irrespective of how clever we are, or how cool we are, or how healthy we are, or how productive we are. It'll never change. Because God's approval is not linked to who we are or what we've done. It's linked to who Jesus is and what he's done. And here's the best thing. That's amazing news because Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's already happened and nothing can change that. God loves you very deeply in Jesus Christ and nothing's going to change that. So as you go off to school, as you go back to work, as you hang out with your neighbors, as you spend time with other mums, remember the Jesus treasure in your pockets. It's a million billion times better than anything else. Is being a Christian worth it? Definitely. Let me pray. We thank you, Father, for the treasure we have in Jesus. Being friends with him, we thank you that it is a million billion times better than anything else we could ever have. As we go out this week, help us to remember the Jesus treasure that we have in our pockets. Amen.